Hello, you're listening to Talking Head. Welcome to the newly created podcast Talking Head. We are going to speak casually and friendly about everything that my guests are doing to make this world a better place. My first guest that I would like to start this podcast is drama director, writer, musician, and my dear friend, Filip Grujić.
Hey, Nikola. Well, I'm fine, actually. I'm in Serbia, in Belgrade, in quarantine, as anyone is right now, maybe in the world, so I don't know. How I am at the moment. I am confused.
Yeah, like I think 99% of the people, but I know in this world right now when there is lots of confusion, we at least can speak about some positive stuff, and especially this day we are going to speak a little bit about you and your road to your success and what is going to be new with you, but as well I would like to speak about some old stuff, you know, about your beginning of your journey, like writer, screenwriter, and musician. I read in one lovely interview that one of the major beginning for you was the concert or the festival in Danube Pop in Ulm, where you had such a lovely treatment like musician and you feel a little bit more artistic than usually people are. So that was the one of the major beginning of your road, how you're going to start to do the School of Dramatic Arts, or was something else that somehow opened you to that?
In 2012, I was 17 then, and of course, because, you know, we traveled from Serbia to Germany, they invited us to play at their festival. So, you know, it's always, you feel when you're 17 and you go to tour, like in Germany, you feel like you're a rock star, even though that festival is not that big or anything. That festival is like for musicians or artists that live around Danube. But, you know, when you're 17 and you get any chance to play outside your hometown, you're excited. But nevertheless, when you play, you know, in Germany and they pay for your gig, they pay your whole trip, they give you, you know, wine as much as you want to drink, they don't ask you about your age. There are people, you know, they're 35 years old, 30 years old, they have families there, you know, older than you, and you feel like you've earned something because, you know, you play in Germany. So I think that was the starting point for me to, you know, consider myself as someone who wants to do art. I wouldn't call myself an artist at the moment, nor now, but at the time I was someone who wants to, you know, be the person which makes something that is called art. Or, well, at that time that was music, and we played with Fusion for about 2 more years. After that, we recorded an album, which was, you know, above, which was average at least, but that's not really how I got, you know, infected with writing. Well, that's how it started, because I wrote all the songs, all the lyrics for that band where we played in Germany, but my writing career started of something else, not from Ulm was just, you know,
the starting point. Yeah,
for me to consider myself as someone who wants to make art.
But can you tell me at least what was like a starting point for you that you consider yourself to go to the School of Dramatic Arts in Belgrade, and what was the starting point for the writing?
Yeah, well, there are, I think, few points. At first, when I was in 8th grade, I don't know, I was 13 or something, as I said, I wrote some lyrics for Van Fusion. Those were really shitty lyrics, but I was 13. But that was my first, you know, touch with something like that. And I think when I was in high school, I always knew that I don't want to do, you know, that 9-to-5 job, which I am doing right at the moment. And because I didn't want to do that 9-to-5, I wanted to, you know, be creative, to explore things, or I wanted to see myself as that, you know, typical cliche artist. So, you know, I wanted to have all day to myself and to write and to drink and who knows what. But I was lucky because few of my best friends in high school, they were all into art. And, well, they're still one of my best friends, and they were all studying theater directing, music, and so I was lucky to be surrounded by people who are into theater, who are into music, who are into films. And I think that, you know, that particular thing that I was surrounded with those people, that made my way through art easier. You know, if I were surrounded with, I don't know, economists, with people who are into IT, then maybe I would consider myself, you know, some kind of black sheep, as artists often call themselves in high school or something like that. But mm-hmm. I was not. I was surrounded by people who enjoy music and theater and film as much as I do. So, you know, it was easy for me to start doing that.
So you had some, like, feedback when you start something and you show to them, you basically have a feedback, what they say about it,
yeah,
you know?
I always had a feedback, and my teacher was really, in high school, she was really, you know, useful and helpful to me because she let me and my friend Luka Ivanov, who studied theater directing in Belgrade and whom I lived with a couple of years, she let us do our thing when we were for its final year of high school, and she let us, you know, skip the classes in order to, I don't know, to see some theater shows in Belgrade, because we are from Novi Sad, we had to travel 1 hour to Belgrade, so it was not always like we had everything in Novi Sad.
Yeah, but at least you have a good teacher. I hope that there is going to be more teacher like your teacher that open up the minds of the children, you know, and show them to be interested about something that they really care. So that's quite interesting.
The funny story, that teacher who's my, you know, I don't know how you say that in English, but that teacher who is your main teacher, she is now my mother-in-law, because my father got married with her after I stopped going to...
Maybe that was one of the reasons, you know, that you could skip the class in that moment as well.
I'm not sure that, because they didn't know each other back then. Ah. They met after I moved to Belgrade and started studying.
That's quite interesting.
But you know, she was one of the reasons I got into faculty of dramatic arts, mm-hmm. because she recognized, you know, my writing as something that I can work on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, cheers to her.
She's the beginning of your greatness, and we have to be grateful to her that she opened your mind and explored in many way possible that you can do what you like. So I'm.
Yeah, well, she let me be who I wanted to be, and you know, at some point, you know, what parents mm-hmm. made you. She also, you know, took mm-hmm. part in it, and now she's a part of a family, which is quite fine as well.
Yeah. But after that, when you have this period in Belgrade where, you know, from the smaller city, even that it's quite wild as well, you come to the Belgrade that it's quite big, one of the major cities. It was even in 2010, I think, written that it's like the best city in the nightlife in Europe and everything. And you come to the School of Dramatic Arts that where is everything, you know, bohemic, or they think that that's the beginning of the dramatic arts, that you have to be bohemic, you have to be open to all the stuff, you're... You know, even when I was there two times visiting our mutual friend Marco, I see the openness of everything. You could smoke in a class, you know, you could drink some beer, and there was some, you know, more open stuff than you're usually surrounded, you know, in the other schools, like my school of architecture in that moment. So I was quite surprised, and that influenced as well your future writing, and the teachers as well, or the professors there open more your stuff, what you're going to do, or?
Well, as I said, you know, because when you get into faculty dramatic arts, mm-hmm. well, I studied dramaturgy there, mm-hmm. Classes are made of 8-10 students.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's easier for things to get more personal, for teachers to be more open than there are when they teach, I don't know, economy or law in front of mm-hmm. thousands of students. So they smoked inside class rooms. We could go to the bar and have class there and drink a beer, because, you know, let's not kid ourselves, you know, that's one of the reasons in the first place why anyone wants to, you know, write, to be a writer, so that we can have freedom to choose our workplace, for things not to be so, you know, tight as mm-hmm. there are in other mm-hmm. in other like in, well, as I said, in law or in economic. So things are a bit loosened up, and you know, in the first year when you come to from one city to the other, from Novi Sad to Belgrade, as you said, you know, it's much bigger city, even though Novi Sad is the second largest city in Serbia, but it's a big difference between Belgrade and sure. Novi Sad in population. It's, I don't know, it's 9 times bigger in population, nine times bigger in square kilometers. Yeah. So, and nightlife is really much, there is much more things to do. Every day you can go to the different place when you're first year, mm-hmm. and you're not living with your parents anymore. You're living with your friends, with your roommates for the first time. And I was surrounded with people from Novi Sad, actually, you know, mm-hmm. as I said, with Luka, who was a friend of mine from high school, with Christina, later Marco, and everything. And, you know, it was easy for me, because of them, to get the best of the city, best of everything in Belgrade, because I had already friends from my hometown, so I was again not alone in all that. You know, that openness where we can smoke, even though I don't smoke anymore, where we can smoke inside of classes, go outside to have a drink and to have a class outside, and to meet many people who are already working in show business, in film industry, in theater. You know, that's what faculty is about, to meet people, and eventually you'll learn something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all about connections, really, in our job.
I think in every job, I think it's about connection. If you know how to speak, and the way, you know, everywhere is the connection, I think, the most important stuff. But I totally understand, and I'm totally with you, and I totally understand you, that's one of the major things, especially in your job, you know, to do, to have a connection and to do something about it.
It's all about connections, you know. As you said, there are 8 of us who are in dramaturgy in that class. Only 8 of us. And they always said during faculty, I don't know why they did that, mm-hmm. but they always said only, I don't know, 2 of you will work in mm-hmm. theater, in film industry, and mm-hmm. some of you will work in copywriting. And, mm-hmm. you know, they always scared us that we want to work, mm-hmm. and they try to make rivalry out of us,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you're friends with your classmates, mm-hmm. and you have to be friends because there's 8 of you in this class.
Mm-hmm.
You get close with people much more than when there's an auditorium of hundreds of and thousands of people. They always tell you that only few of you will work. So, you know, it's scary when they tell something like that, and there's always, you know, competition which professors build into you and totally unnecessary.
I think as well, you know, it's the better to connect and to push each other and, you know, the build who can manage, who then can manage, who couldn't manage, then and you push each other to be. Yeah.
Yeah, and you always have, you know, that feeling that you have to be everywhere at the same time, you know, because of that, you have feeling that you have to be on every premiere, theater premiere, and to meet every time, every actor that was on stage, every director that was, you know, in bar afterwards. And you always have that feeling that when you, you know, I don't know, when you're reading something instead of going out, that you're missing something. And that's why it's really all about connections. It's sadly, but it really is the truth, because our, you know, Belgrade is not Paris. It's not that big. You have to be in some group to, you know, even exist.
Even your group of the, you know, connections and in theater and all the other, you know, dramatic arts, it's quite the small group of the people that you need to be connected. So I totally understand you. I see that you have a promising career. You have already, you write 4 or 5 dramas that are quite mesmerizing, and 4 of them are already played in theater, or they are going to be played in theater. I'm really sincerely sorry about one that had to be played and had to be have a premiere in April, but unfortunately it's postponed because of the coronavirus, and it's, I think, affecting you a lot. Can you explain me what else it's affecting, this coronavirus, from your, I hope it's not affecting your writing or your, you know, future business and the projects that are going to do, or it's just this project that it's affecting?
Luckily, it's not affecting my health right now. And it's the first thing that's on my mind. It's not affecting the health, you know, of me, of my girlfriend, of my family. But secondly, it is affecting, because it was planned to have a premiere of my play in theater in Belgrade, the Kajet Vested Vanished. That's the name of the theater, in April, but it is postponed. I don't know till when. It was planned to have another premiere in Novi Sad in Serbian National Theater in May or June, and it is as well postponed. So actually, and in some youth theater, we were ought to start a project in March, like in 2 days. But so it's 3 projects that are postponed because of the coronavirus. So I don't know what will happen with that. I don't know what happens with, you know, it's not just my plays that are postponed. It's, you know, a lot of projects that are now postponed. I don't know if they're postponed for summer, for the fall, or something like that. I don't know whether will theater work on summer, because, you know, they didn't work during spring. I don't know. There are so many questions now, and I think that we don't have any answers at the moment. Luckily, I work as a copywriter in agency, in advertisement. Started working there in January. If I didn't get a job, I wouldn't have money to you know, pay rent, because I counted on all of those projects.
You know, it's, I think, affecting 95% of the people that are living. So jobs, it's really bad thing that is happening right now, but I hope that at least you're going to be safe and sound, and there is not going to be happen any virus to you. So I think that's the most important right now, that you're healthy, and that's really beautiful right now, that at least you're healthy and you can have this roof under, you know, your roof that you can sleep under, and that you can at least enjoy a little bit of the stuff that it's
much better for me than it's for a lot of people at the moment who are, you know, work like they do not have monthly paid bills or anything. They are not employed. They work as freelancers and everything. They, oh no, you know, those people who own restaurants, who own bars, those people who, you know, are.
Yeah, but may I ask you just one more question from this dramatic arts? Do you think that maybe this virus is going to be creating some new, you know, idea for your new book, or some new screenwriting or some new drama that maybe you're going to think about it, you know, right now when you have a little bit more free time and you see this isolation where you're basically connected in by internet with so many people, but still, you know, by you're connected with your, just your girlfriend right now and everything is, you know, just between you and two, do you think maybe there is going to be creating some new drama or some new future, you know, of developing of some new book about it, you know, when you're loneliness, maybe there is going to create some new ideas, not about the book. I know that you're writing the second book, but maybe about some idea about your third book or some new drama. Do you have something in mind right now or no?
No, because I'm now, you know, into writing my second book. And actually before this, I had some other interview online and we were talking about whether I will write something about coronavirus or not. And I said that hopefully I will not write anything because hopefully it will not last, you know, more than 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
So, you know, my mindset is not that this is my life now. My mind is like, this is the transition I'm in. And it's just a transition. And, you know, I think on daily basis about Corona, I think on about economy of states, about the many aspects of this and how it will and how the world will look after this. You know, Slavoj Žižek is telling in his interviews that maybe this is the reinvention of communism. You know, I know, funny, in this right moment, people are clapping on their balconies and on their windows. They're clapping for our health workers. People got out and because it's 8 o'clock in the evening, and they said that they will not just like whole Serbia will clap for our health workers. So it's happening at the moment. But as I said, you know, that kind of things, it's because of that you know, Slavoj Žižek told that maybe this is the reinvention of communism, or that, you know, this Corona thing will end capitalism. You know, there's much more to this than just, you know, virus. I think that it will change and it will affect on a lot of things, but I don't think that I will write anything about that. But there's, you know, as I said earlier, not in this interview, but in the other, now I have a chance to talk to my friends whom I do not talk that often. They're living, you know, like you, in Czech Republic, in Ireland, there is Aki, in a lot of states and a lot of countries, and I do not talk that often with you or with Aki or and now when we are all stuck at home, you know, we get a chance to talk more often, which is, you know, maybe that solidarity between us, between our, you know, people we love. I think that maybe the only thing that will come, and, you know, ecology first, eventually will come good out of this coronavirus.
Yeah, I see as well. Like yesterday I was speaking for really, after a really long time with Marco. I think after 6 months he called me, so I was quite surprised. Affecting of a lot, especially you have spending more time with your family, that I'm really grateful. I'm getting to know my sister more than usually I had, so I'm really grateful for that as well, and to speak about this. This was as well the major idea why I started this podcast, so I'm really grateful in some point. Not grateful about for coronavirus, but I'm grateful that I had this opportunity to, you know, open my head and say a little bit to myself, you know, stop, wait, relax, think about it, what you're going to do. So that's quite nice that I have right now this opportunity to speak about you, about your stuff, and I'm really grateful that there is, you know, opportunity to show to the other people as well how amazing screenwriter and drama director you are. So even after the drama, you even write your first novel, The Lustful Days of the Third Like Johnny, that for me, even that I read it 2 times, it's really right now the major book of the modern literature in Serbia. I read some of them. I'm not, you know, so much influenced by the more literature in Serbian, yeah. But still it's quite nice that you know the person that write it, and there is some stuff that are happening in Prague, you know, and the places where you visit with him and you see his inspiration, especially the place in the end of the book where you go to that fabric of creating the, you know, the caps and stuff, and like the father led him there for the Johnny, and he gets some presents for his children, so that was quite surprising for me. And lots of stuff, you know, that influence as well our friendship with our friends, the friend in Ireland, that there was one part, not him, but the way of the speaking in the book. So I'm really grateful for that, and I hope in the future that we'll see more books that are going to, you know, affect some of the stuff that are happening and surrounding us, you know, and the places and some maybe way of the speaking of our friends. So that's quite nice, you know. But last few days of The Third Like Johnny is really, for me, some opening book that to start to read the new literature in Serbia. So I read some quite nice interviews, but how was influencing you when you finished with writing, you know? You finish your first book. What was your feeling after that, you know? Did you have some release, or did you say like, okay, I'm going to start the second again, or there was some mixed feeling about it, or?
I wrote that book for around, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 months. But it is, you know, when you write about all that surrounds. And as you said, we were in Prague, and Johnny also, well, that character from the novel, he also traveled through Prague and to other European cities. And, you know, you write, you take a little pieces of everything you see, you hear, you mix it together, and you know, there are a lot of things that happened to me, that happened to my friends, that happened all mixed together, and you know, that's the beauty of writing that, because you know, everybody who knows you can find something that, you know, they say, oh, that was, you know, that time when we were there, but you know, it's all mixed up, all the things, all the characters. There are six characters in only one character in a book, you know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but when I finished writing that, I felt relieved for a moment, but then I was like, no, I'm gonna write second one, you know, till next year. And 3 years have passed till then, and I'm still finishing my second. So, you know, it's not working as I thought it would. But you know, when I finished, I was like, okay, so now this is done. I'm going to enjoy myself for some time. I'm going to, you know, be grateful that I finished that fucking book, you know, over 7 or 8 months, and now 3 years have passed and I'm still writing second novel. So they always say that the second novel is the hardest, or second album in music is hardest thing to write or to create.
Yeah, that's true. Even when you speak about it, I know that you're one of the favorite band is Nationals. So even when we were speaking about their second band, their second album was Alligator, or no?
No. They had an interesting career path, because their first 4 or 5 albums went completely unnoticed.
Yeah, and after their that first, they.
Yeah, and from Alligator they, you know, got bigger and bigger, and you know, they got like, but their first. That's really unusual, because their first 4 albums like were completely unnoticed. They played in front of 10 to 15 to 20 people, you know.
Yeah. But first album I really like. I remember the first time when I listened to them, we were going to the film festival in Palić, where you were presenting the small movie, and or you were one of the guests that was presenting.
I don't remember, but it was quite
interesting, you know, experience. Like I was first time, you know, listening, and I, wow, this is really good. And you show me the album, and there was like the guy, you know, with the baseball, you know, ball in the pool. And I was, who's this? This is the singer? No, this is the drummer. So for me, was even the experience of the album cover was really quite interesting. Yeah.
That is the cover. It's from 2001. Yeah, but when we were going to college, it was summer, and you know, nobody likes to listen to the National in the summer when you're driving.
No, you know, I really enjoy it. I think I really enjoy it. I know you too as well, and I was like quite surprised. You even showed me this, you know, band. So I was really like, you know, drawn to them. So this was really something major for me to listen as well all the time. There was a period, you know this movie Warrior, where it was the Tom Hardy as well, and there was some of the songs that they were playing. And they are really Bloodbuzz Ohio as well was really one of the major stuff. I think playing it for 3 months in a row all the time when I go to school. I totally understand you. They are really something. You like them or you don't like them. That's what I like about this band. But even after that, I think that was as well. You say that in some interview that this band is something that is creating your writing process. So you listen often to this band when you're writing or doing not just the book, but as well the drama or just the books.
I listen to them because I know all of their songs, you know. And when you're writing, you need to concentrate on writing, not on music. But I have to have some music in my ears, you know, when I write. I have to listen to music because it makes an atmosphere for me. And because of that, because they are not so, you know, loud band, they're soothing, sad, happy, sad band that, you know, I can relate to their lyrics. And because of that, I written all of my novel listening only to their Sleep Well Beast album. I listened to it, I don't know, thousands of times in a row, because that was the mood of the novel I wanted to write, you know. It's their first album that was mixture with some like indie, dark indie with some electronics, and that, you know, eclectic combination was what suited me and what, you know, inspired me to write. No, I don't know how it translated to my novel. I forgot.
Yeah, I totally understand. Like rhythmical novel that you have in that point and preposition. Yeah.
Yeah, but I forgot how we translate that novel in English. Ludnidani. How do we call
lustful,
it? In
lustful days.
Lustful days.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's not, you know, that's our translation. It's not translated in any English, in any language. Actually, it is translated in Russian, but it's not published yet. So hopefully, I don't know.
Maybe let me know when it's going to be in Russian. I'm really going to be grateful, you know, because I want to show this piece of work as well to my half side of my family, you know, future family, so the Camille and her father.
Yeah, of course.
So maybe he's going to do promotion in Kazakhstan, you never know, you know. That's quite interesting, you know. So we'll see.
There's something about you. Something about you when she's away. I'm in trouble. You feel the holes and I can't get a thought of it. I can get a thought of you outside my head. And you're a filthy liar, you said. All liquored up, ready to say whatever I please. Put your guns away. I'm not ready to take you down. Not ready to take you down the silvery road. Stop before you knock me down the streets. It's so simple this way. You lit up a cigarette. Fully dressed up in the backseat of my mind. I felt your skin so close to mine. It was winter around this town, the town that was built for us, the town that no longer exists. this burning hole last time I called. You laughed at me. Let's pretend we're someone else, someone better than most of our friends, someone better than the times we had.
After even the writing, you have really, right now, the new album in English. It's called Arrivals and Departure. Can you tell us a little bit about that? You know, how you find out that you're going to write the album. I know that there is as well influence about Luca Major, who was one of the lead singer before in your band Plastic Trees, and the EP that you do more songs about her, and after that you do some couple of years and you do your solo album Arrivals and Departure, that is quite interesting as well. I feel lots of the national skills, so can you tell me a little bit about that as well, how you transcend from the writing right now to the new album, and why, just what was the reason that you do it?
In 2016, I think, we had a band called Plastic Trees. We as well traveled to Ulm, to Germany, on the Nopop camp from the beginning of our conversation.
Yeah, I remember I was there as well. It was crazy.
Yeah, you were there as well, and we have some great stories from there, but never mind them. And when we split up in 2016, I think in December or in January 2017, when we split up, I didn't do any music till now. You know, I was like, I'll never do music again. Writing is the only thing I'll do. And I don't know, time passed by. I had my acoustic guitar with me all the time, and I was, you know, playing something from, you know, from time to time I was playing something, and I didn't have, you know, like any complete songs of my own, and I never considered myself as a singer or anything. But till May 2019, well, last year, you all know about that, because I was with Luca Major, who was our singer in Plastic Trees and my great friend, and who now works as a theater composer with my girlfriend Jovana, and he will work eventually with many other theater directors.
I didn't know about
and it. He now composed for theaters, and we were in Portugal, in Porto and Lisbon. You were
there as well, yeah.
And you came to Lisbon, and we, you know, got drunk one evening, and we looked at Porto, and we were in a bar, and we started talking about music. He was recording his album at the moment, his solo album at the moment, and I showed him some, you know, it's not the demos, I just recorded myself with my cell phone and showed that recordings to him, and he said, wow, well, this is not that bad as he thought it would be, maybe. And he said that, you know, he was drunk, and he said, maybe we can record it someday in, you know, in a home. And and when we came back from Portugal, that was, you know, all I could think, and I really wanted to make solo album. I really wanted to record the things, and naturally, all my songs were in English at the moment. Now I'm making a second album in Serbian, but at the moment, those were the songs I was, some of them I've written, you know, in the last 3 years. You know, the song called North, I wrote that song 3 years ago or something like that. And it was, you know, after Plastic Trees split up and everything. And I never thought I would do something with those songs I wrote in the last couple of years. But I don't know, we talked, I moved from one place to the other and from the other to another place, and now where I am, we recorded in, we didn't have a studio, no, but we recorded some 8 songs here in Belgrade with Luka Major, and I don't know, we gave them to Aki in Ireland, who were we playing in Black Trees as well, and he mixed them and produced them because he studies at Dublin in Ireland. And I don't know, I gave Arrivals Departures, that's the title of an album, because it really is. I'm now 25. I was, during those times I wrote all of those songs, I was from 22 years old, from 21 to 25, and a lot has happened since then. A lot of people came, a lot of people, you know,
yeah, pass by and go away,
yeah. So I moved from four apartments, and you know, now I'm here, and it's Arrivals and Departures, that album is about that.
Yeah,
so I think that, you know, like I couldn't think of any other name for an album other than that. It just came to me because it really is what it's about.
And it is a beautiful name, by the way, really interesting, you know, like every drama that you describe as well, you know, it's quite interesting name. So even the Arrivals and Departure is not something simple. You just have to think about it, and then you think about the album, what is happening inside, and what is the idea of the Arrivals and Departure, and then you listen to it, and then you totally understand. It's like everything that you write until now.
Yeah, and we shoot videos in my apartment, and I live with my girlfriend here. We rented this place, and she directed or co-directed these videos where they're, you know, you can find it on YouTube, but they're real. In those videos, there are a lot of people just passing from my room, like 30, 35, 40 people. Jovana, she's a director, and we made that concept, and you know, it's people just passing through the room.
Yeah, I watched it. It was quite nice. You know,
so we also made the videos, and we didn't want to make, you know, one single video. We shoot the whole thing in one take for whole 8 songs. So it was, we invited people. We didn't tell them what they will do. We tell them at that exact moment that they arrived. So, you know, it's interesting for me, that concept.
Yeah. Especially when you know some of them people as well. I like the part when you know, you see your old, younger brother passing by, quite, you know, scary. Aaron. He was really like a little bit clumsy walking, but still he was like, you know, let me, you know, walk normally. Yeah, like, you know, that they see that I'm walking normally.
Yeah,
it was quite funny as well. And then after see you, Mitke and Marco and everybody, like there was Luca.
There was people that I lived with, the people that I was classmates with, the people, you know, that I don't know that well, my family, my girlfriend, everyone was
basically Arrivals and Departure.
Yeah.
It's quite nice, yeah. But right now, when you say that you're going to make the other album in Serbian language, what was the reason? It just came by, like, first one was in English. Oh, I'll try the second one in Serbian, or you just, you know, you had some idea right now that you write some song in Serbian, and after that it came to you, why to write it right now in English when I can try in Serbian, or what was the reason?
Yeah, I wrote those songs in English because those were first album, because I wrote them, you know, as I said, 3 years ago, some of them I wrote now, like 2 months, 3 months ago. But I didn't want to have mixed album with Serbian English, so I decided to have one English album with a lot of indie folk music in it, with a lot of acoustic guitars, but mixed with some electronic sounds. And the second album in Serbian, I completely left my acoustic guitar, and I'm doing everything with MIDI synthesizer and that thing. And it came natural to me to write in Serbian because I wanted to express myself in my own language.
Yeah.
And to, you know, because it's much more difficult to express yourself when you make a song in Serbian, because you know that language so well, and you can't just write, you know, I love you, because it sounds like
cheeky or something. Yeah.
Yeah, and when you say "oh baby" in English, it sounds much better than when you say in Serbian.
Yeah.
Oh no, ciao bebo or something like that.
Yeah, I totally understand you. Yeah.
So you have to give much more thought when you're writing in your own language, that every word sounds, you know, that you're not ashamed of any words you put, because you know so damn well those words, you know.
Yeah, I totally understand you. And about the second novel as well, it's going to maybe come in the same time like the album, or you have some idea to somehow compose it with something else in your life, or some other idea?
I don't know. I really don't know, because I'll finish my novel in a month, and I think I will record this album during summer. So, you know, it depends on the publisher, who will publish, I don't know, at this right moment, at this very moment. So, I don't know, maybe it will come all together, maybe it will come separate, I don't know. I don't have an idea now.
Yeah. So I hope the second podcast are going to be with you about the novel, and then we can do the third about your second album. It would be quite nice, so you can send me the copy before, and we can speak about it, you know, more if you want. If you don't want, you know, we can speak about other stuff.
Hopefully the second podcast will be in Prague when we're drinking beer and recording, you know, when we sit next to each other.
That would be nice, yeah, with every other bunch of the people as well. We'll see. Yeah, maybe when all this happened and finished, we can do it, you know, before wedding, you know, pre-wedding podcast. It can be nice with all the other stuff, people, you know.
Pre-wedding, it would be nice. Last podcast as a non-married man.
Thank you, Philip, for being my first guest. Thank you, people that are listening to my podcast. And see you next time.